Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. Today's daf is daf mem vav. So we got two lines down in the vav of aleph. The Gemara had said that Amar Abaye b'shel chulios. We're describing a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about what type of menorah, what size menorah may or may not be moved on Shabbos. So the Gemara ended up saying that we're talking about a menorah b'shel chulios, which Rashi explains on the four lines down at the top here. B'shel chulios is b'menorah shel prakim. It was a menorah made of different pieces. And the concern was, shema tipol, perhaps when you're carrying it, it might fall and fall apart. But tisparik, it's going to separate into pieces. V'yachzirenu v'nimsa osakli, you're going to put it back together, and it turns out you're going to be building a kli on Shabbos. So that's the concern of why you can't carry certain types of menorahs around. Now, this is very important, halacha l'maaseh, in terms of ein binyan v'stir b'kelim. There's a Gemara that tells us in Shabbos, in Maseches Beitza and elsewhere, that binyan v'stir doesn't apply to kelim. It doesn't apply to movable objects. Binyan v'stir only applies to buildings, things that are connected mechubel l'karka. So why is there a concern of putting things back together? That being said, the poskim say, the Rishonim say, the Gemara says, that binyan v'stir b'kelim applies midrabanan at least. Although midiraisa ain't binyan v'stir b'kelim midrabanan, there is an iser. But the Chacham made a chilek, depends what type of binyan v'stir b'kelim. If we're talking about certain things that stick together, that stay for a while, that would be a problem of binyan v'stir b'kelim. If it's something that falls apart very, very easily, that would be mutter, that would not be a problem of binyan and stir b'kelim at all. So Lego becomes certainly a very important application of this. Certain types of Legos, like the bigger Legos that come apart very easily, that certainly is not a problem of binyan v'stir b'kelim, but some of the Legos that stick together nicely and that kids let stay for a while, they build a model of New York City and they let it stay there for a while, that's going to be considered most likely a problem of binyan v'stir b'kelim based on this discussion. So either way, the Gemara says, we're talking about a menorah that's made of different parts that may fall apart and you might build them back together on Shabbos. So the Gemara then says, well, ihachi, that's the case two lines down. My taima, the Rebbe Shimon Reish Lakish. What was the reason Reish Lakish dishari? Why did he permit it? Because in yesterday's daf, we said, the Reish Lakish said it's only usher to schlep around the menorah that you need two hands to hold. But if it's talking about a small menorah that I can hold with one hand, that's allowed. But if the concern is it might fall over and might have to put it back together, shouldn't it be equally usher ben gadol ben katana? So the Gemara says, my chulios, when Abaye says we're talking about a menorah made of chulios, of different parts, ke'ein chulios, ki'de'is be'chidaki. It's not really talking about a menorah that has different parts. It's talking about a menorah that looks like it has different parts. It has some edges in it, some different designs that make it look like it has different parts, but it's not really different parts. It's really all one unit. And therefore, the Gemara explains as follows, Hilkach. Chulios ben gadola ben katana asur l'taltla. Now, if it comes to chulios, an actual menorah that comes apart, that's detached and reattached together, that everybody agrees, Rabbi Yochanan and even Reish Lakish agree, it's asur to carry it all, maybe it's going to fall and you have to put it back together. However, gadola nami d'is be'yichidaki, if it's a large menorah that has some of these lines in it, even then is going to be usher. Why is it going to be usher? Because it has these grooves in it and it looks like a menorah. So gedola nami disbe chidaki gezera atu gedola dechuyos. So since it's this big one with grooves in it, it looks like it's falls apart. That they were gozer on the large one. We'll look at Rashi. Look at Rashi says five now lines down. Rashi gedola hova darchalasosa shechuyos. Since large menorahs, large candelabras typically were made of parts, it was easier just to make them in different pieces and put them together. That was how typically they were made. Ki is bechidaki when it has these little grooves in it. Savri dechuyos hain. People are going to assume, oh, those are probably made of different pieces. V'aser afil reish lakish kedamer la'el nitles b'sheyadaim asel talfa. So the Chacham goes there, even on a menorah that looked, that appeared like it had parts, simply because it had grooves, even though it really didn't. So there only goes there in that case, according to everyone in a gedola. Back inside the Gemara, however, ki pligi, when does Reish Lakish or B'yochan argue? They argue b'ktana. The isbe chidaki. When it comes to a smaller candelabra that has these grooves, mar saver gazrinam, mar saver lo gazrinam. And so Rashi explains here, ki pligi b'ktana disbe chidaki. The chuliyama yadi delav chulios ninu. Everyone knows it's not a chulios, not made of different parts. But the question is whether there were gozer in such an instance, anyways. So Reish Lakish says, no, they weren't gozer. Everyone knows the small candelabra is not made of different parts. When you make the silver candelabra, you don't need to make it parts and put it together. It's very easy to make a silver menorah with different grooves in it. There's no chashash. Rabbi Yochanan felt, nonetheless, we wanted to be gozer. Just like we were gozer on a gedola, this beichidaki, also we were going to be gozer on a katana as well. And Mishnah Berurah brings us down the halacha that our menorahs, so it's also to move because they're made of different parts. But Rav Yashiv just raised the question, Sarachin Bismanazeh, whether there really is a concern, because everybody knows that nowadays the candelabras are not made of different parts. They don't fall apart easily, and therefore, seemingly, it should be fine, because no one's choshed that if you drop a candelabra, it's going to fall apart. Even though you might have some pieces that screw together and screw on, that when you drop it, let's say, it's not going to fall apart. And therefore, Rav Yashiv just raises the point, maybe we should think about that this muksa, this gzera, shouldn't be in place anymore, but just leaves it off as a tsarach in. The Gemara now says around 8 lines down in a mem vav am an aleph here, mi am Rav Yochanan hachad. Does Rav Yochanan really say this? Does he say what? So the Gemara, Rashi explains here, does he really say halacha Rav Yehuda? Does Rav Yochanan really, is he really concerned with muksa? Vaha am Rav Yochanan, doesn't Rav Yochanan tell us a klal? We have halacha kestam mishnah. We have all of our shas. You look on the side of the Masorah Shas, he quotes like 20 places where we have the statement Rav Yochanan halacha kestam mishnah. We always paskin when there's a stam mishnah, we always paskin that way. Why is that? So there's a mishnah in Edus that just tells us that even though we know, might know sometimes who the author is of the Stam Mishnah means that we are associating the author, so the Mishnah Edios explained because we didn't want people to know. Because if we told you who authored it, you might think, oh, that's a Das Yachid. And we don't necessarily pass like a Das Yachid. So they wanted to give the impression, the Tosas and Beitzer brings this as well, and Daf Bezer, Gimel and Bezer, I don't remember exactly, but right in the beginning of the Sechta, he points out that we wanted to give people the impression that this was the opinion of the Rabbim. Because we know when it comes to Yachid or Rabbim, Halacha Karabim. So in order to give that impression, they hid the author of it, even though it may have been a Das Yachid, in order to give the impression that this is the Rabbim, because that's how he paskin. Based on that klal, Rabbi Yochanan says, whenever there's a Stam Mishnah, halacha k'stam Mishnah. So now, the Tanam, we have a Mishnah that teaches us. There's a Mishnah in Meseches Kelim. We saw this a couple days ago as well. Muchni shalah, the wheel of a wagon, bizman shehi minishmetes, when it falls off, ein chibor, it's not called a chibor, bizman shehi minishmetes, which means it's able to be detached. It's ein chibor la, it's not connected to it. Veinim dedes ima, it's not measured in terms of the size of a kli for a kabbal tuma. Veim atzelas ima ba'ol ameis, and if it's an ol ameis, it's not going to protect that which is within, it's not viewed as a wall. Vein goes rino, so b'shabbos, bizman shehi shalah maos, and if there is maos money in the wagon, you can't drag it, it's a violation of muksa. But ha, the Gemara is medayik for the Mishnah. Ha ein alav maos sharia. If there is no money on it, if there are no coins on it now, then you're allowed to move it. And then the Gemara says, v'alfa gab de havila ben hashmashos. Even though there may have been coins on a ben hashmashos, which is the onset of Shabbos, which is when muksa is decided. So we don't care. If right now there is no money on it, you're allowed to move it according to Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan really held a Rabbi Yehuda, if he really held a muksa, so the din should be, if there was money, bein hashmashos, so then the whole item, the wagon, the wheel should all be usa to move, even though there may not be any money on it right now. The fact that he allows you to move it, even though there was once money, bein hashmashos, sounds like Rabbi Yochanan does not hold a Rabbi Yehuda. He does not hold a muksa. So the Gemara says, Amr Bezerah, we have to explain that this Mishnah Maseches Kelim, the situation where there was no money ben Hashmashos. Why? Just so we don't break the word Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't sound like he just got a cop out, just to protect him. No, this is Rabbi Yochanan understood. He knew Mishnah was Baal Peh. He knew it all. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan understood that this Mishnah was a situation where there was no money on it, ben Hashmashos, and that's why you're allowed to move the wagon, because there's no money on it, and there was no money. But had there been money, ben Hashmashos, Rabbi Yochanan would agree, since he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is Muksa, he would agree that you cannot move this wagon on Shabbos, you cannot move the wheel on Shabbos, even though there is no money on it. Now, since there was ben Hashmashos, it does render Muksa and a basis ledaver aser. The Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Shuv ben Levi Pam Achas one time, Halach Rebbe l'diaspora. Not sure how to pronounce that word exactly, but the place Rebbe went to a particular city. V'horeh he paskin b'menorah k'Rebbe Shimon b'ner. He paskin b'menorah like Rebbe Shimon b'ner. Unclear what that meant. A very cryptic statement. So the Gemara says, what does he mean? What was the psak? Ibailu horeh b'menorah kama. Horeh b'menorah and k'Rebbe Shimon b'ner lehetera. Did he paskin that the menorah we could be makil? Or we'll read Rashi just to explain. Or were they two different statements? Odilma hora b'menorah liyisura Kama and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon rather, Bener Leteira. Was this one statement or were these two different statements? So the Rashi explains here, Ibailahu Chadahura Havya, was this one statement, one psak? Vahachi Kamar, this is what Rabbi had paskin, that Hauruk Bimanor Leteira, Kederach Shay Rabbi Shimon Mati Bener Yasham, that he paskin, you could be makil by a menorah, moving the menorah, just like Rabbi Shimon was Matir, he was makil by moving an old candle. It was all one statement. Odilma shtei haraz hava, or perhaps there were two different statements. Hora bebenora leiser kedamrinon bide chidaki. Do we say carrying the menorah is also like we said above because it has these grooves and gives the impression that it has different parts to it? However, and vegazrinon atu chulios. And when it came to Rabbi Shimon, hora la bener leheta. When it came to a nair carrying just one nair, one candle holder, not a whole candelabra, but a candle holder, he paskin like Rabbi Shimon, one would be able to move it. That was the suffix of what Rebbe had paskin in the city of Diaspora. And it says the Gemara, Teku, we don't know. We don't know what the Psak was, and we left it as a Teku. Gemara now says a series of different short stories here. The Gemara explains that one time Rebbe Malkiah Ikla Lebe Rebbe Simlai. He was once visiting the house, the place of Rebbe Simlai, the Tilta Shrug, and he was carrying a candle. He was carrying the candle that was lit on Shabbos. And it went out. It has to be a situation where it went out, because if it was still lit, even Rabbi Shimon would say it's awesome. It has to be a case where it went out. Rashi's Ner Shekava, it went out, and he carried it on Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, V'ikpad Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai is very upset that he did this, that he passed like Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Simlai himself passed like Rabbi Yehuda. Another story. Rabbi Yossi Gililala, Ikle La'asu de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina. He visited the place, the city of Rabbi Yossi. And Tilta Shrug, he was carrying a candle that went out, just like Rabbi Shimon. V'ikbad Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin. He got upset because we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Abo, Kiikle the Asr of Rabbi Shubin Levi, Hava. Metal Tashraga, when he visited the place of Rabbi Shubin Levi, he carried a candle like Rabbi Shimon. Kiikle the Asr of Rabbi Yochan, however, Lohava Metal Tashraga, when he visited the city, the place of Rabbi Yochan, he did not carry a candle. So Gemara says, wait a second, this is a steer. So, Manafshach. He could be Yehuda, Sri Levi, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, there's Muksa, he should not have carried a candle even in the place of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Le'avad could be Yehuda. And he could be Shimon, Sri Levi, holds like Rabbi Shimon, that there is no Muksa. Le'avad could be Shimon, he should move a candle, carry a candle, both in Rabbi Shimon Levi's place and also in the place of Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara said something very important here, Le'olam, Rabbi Shimon, Sri Levi. Really, he paskin, make din like Rabbi Shimon. And that there is no Muksa, and you're allowed to carry a candle holder when the fire goes out. However, Mishum Kvodo, Rabbi Yochanan who to Lohava Avid, because out of respect to Rabbi Yochanan who paskined like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is Muksa, so then out of respect for him, he did not carry the candle in his particular place. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Yehuda, Shraga de Mishre Shar Latutle. If you have an oil lamp, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Denaf to Asa Latutle. But if it's a candle lamp, from naphtha, which we described there before, early in the Masechta, what it was, some type of bad-smelling oil, that may not be moved. Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, Dami Tervayo, they both told, no, the naphtha nami, Charlotte Tatule. They felt that you can carry even a naphtha. What's the difference between between mishcha, oil, olive oil, and naphtha? So Rashi explains, Shraga de mashcha shadalat ner shel shemen, a candle used from oil, Charlotte Tatule, you can move it. Acha Shekava after went out, Rabbi Shimon de la Ma'is, because it's not Ma'is. When there's olive oil, it doesn't get so disgusting. So the candle holder can be reused, it's not disgusting. However, Avah Benafta de Misach, it's disgusting. V'afil Rabbi Shimon molde de la Chazi el Lemlachta, it's only permitted to be lit. You can't use it to hold something else. It smells so bad, no one wants to place anything else in it. It has no purpose, and therefore Benafta, it's awesome. That's all the opinion, the chilek between according to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to, again, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Demar Tavaya, they both held the nafta nami Charlotte Tetule. They think even if a candle holder that was used with this bad smelling oil is also permitted, they argue that you're allowed to move it as well. We'll see in just a few moments why they permit you using it, even though it seems to be muksa machmas mius. So Gemara tells you through a little maisa here as to what the reason is that they permit you to use a candle holder that was used for nafta. So Gemara says, one time Rav Avya, Ikle the Beirava, Rav Avya was visiting the house of Rav, and Hava Me'isen Beitar Betina, and his shoes were very, very muddy, and he walks into the house of Rav, and Ative Apuria Kame Rav, and he places them up on the bed, on the table, right in front of Rav's face. Ikpad Rav Ba'ilatsure. Rav was very bothered by this, he felt that this was disgusting and inappropriate, and wanted to be Mitzarim, to cause him pain. What, I mean, what type of pain is that? Ba'ilatsure wanted to Besh'elos, ask him questions, So it's Stam asking questions. Pasha Pshat is that he was, he was doing something disgusting, putting his muddy feet in Rava's face. So he wanted to get it back at him and ask him questions and make him feel a little bit silly and uncomfortable. So what did he ask him? Amalei, my time, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damri Tavayu, Shraga Denafta Nami Sharla Tetule. What's the reason why both Rabbi Rav Yosef agree that on Shabbos you can move and move a candle holder that was used with nafta? It doesn't seem to be permitted for anything. It's disgusting. It's muksa machmas amias. So Amar Lei, Rav Avi was able to answer, ho the chazi lechasuye ba mana. Because since it was fit for using a mana, it's fit for covering a utensil, even though no one wants to place anything inside of this candle holder because it's disgusting, but if you use it as a cover to put on top of water, to put on top of some type of cup, you could use it as a cover. So he says back, Amar Lei, since it's fit for covering up a cup, so then elamata cold tsraros shebechatzer metaltelin. Any rock, any pebble, you could say, oh, it has a purpose of it could cover, it could hold the door, a great door stopper. It could cover up a cup. It could have some functions. You can't just make up any function for anything you want. So he says back, hola the chazluk say again elamata cold tsraros shebechatzer metaltelin. So you could say the same claim about any rock, anything. This should never be muksa machmas gufo, which means anything that is inherently purpose, has no purpose to it, like a rock, like a stone, like a stick, so that we should say, no, it has a purpose. I could use it to be a door stopper. I could use it to cover my cups. So you can't just make up some usage like that. So Rav Avi responds back and says, no, amr lei ha'ika toras kliyala, ha'leka toras kliyala. It depends. Rocks, sticks, stones, they don't have a shem kli. They're not called utensils. So there's not even to talk about. That's what muksa machmas gufu is. But when it comes to something that has a taras kli on it, this candle holder, this nair, it's used for this oil of nafta, it's called a kli. And once it has a kli, and it also on top of that, you can have some usage. Maybe the usage is a little bit far-fetched, but there is some usage there that would not be considered muksa. And that's the explanation behind Rabba Rav Yosef. Now, this is a very, very important halacha, because when it comes to defining what's muksa machmas gufa versus what's a kli, it's very challenging. So everyone agrees rocks. The Shulchan Aruch says rocks and sticks and stones. Those are all muksa machmas gufa. Those are not called kalim. And on the other hand, something like a hammer, that's a kli. That's a kli. But there are discussions about many other areas. Rav Simcha Baden Kohen has a whole long discussion of trying to figure out what the definition of a kli is. Perhaps it depends on how people view it. Do we call it a kli? Do we not call it a kli? But one area that comes up is paper. I discussed this on today's daf and practice and all daf. Is paper considered muksa? Paper that's plain, a plain piece of paper. If there's writing on it, so then that's not muksa. I have a use for it. As long as the writing on it isn't a violation of shtar hedyotos. Shtar hedyotos are secular topics. Reading the newspapers, reading ads on Shabbos, that's shtar hedyotos. But let's say the paper has a Torah on it. So then that can be read. That's not muksa. But let's say it's a plain piece of paper. Is that considered muksa? Is that considered a kli? Is that considered muksa machmas gufo? Maybe it's not a kli. It has no purpose. Or maybe it's considered muksa machmas chesom kis because you don't want to ruin the paper. You don't want to crumble it up. So these are different discussions. But it's very important to know what's considered a kli. That tells you whether it's muksa machmas gufo or it's a kli. Once you define it as a kli, you have to figure out, well, is there a heter use for it? Or is it not a heter use for it to decide whether you can move it or not move it on Shabbos. Now, there's an interesting chasam sofer here that Rashi had said that when Rav Avi walked in with his dirty feet and stuck in the face of Rava, so Rava wanted to get back at him and ask him some questions. And Pasha Pshat is, he's talking about the weekday. It's a regular weekday. Nothing to do with Shabbos here. Just Stam. He comes in and kicks his feet up on the table. So chasam sofer says, he asks the question, what's so bad about not knowing the answer? What tsar is there about not knowing the answer? That's really troubling. Someone asks me a question, I don't know the answer. So I said, I don't know. Let me look into it. Let me find out. It's not such a tsar for people that know answers all the time. So Chassam Sofer didn't think that tsar was in terms of not knowing answers, because many people don't know answers. So Chassam Sofer connects this to another Gemara in the end of the Masechta Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. There, Rava again. Rava is talking here in Daf Mem Vav, and later on in Kuf Chav Dalet Rava was once walking, and he got his feet very, very muddy. It was Shabbos, and he came, and his attendant started cleaning off the shoes with a piece of earthenware, a piece of pottery that was there in the chatzar. And the tamidim started to yell at him, how could you do this? It's muksa. Forgetting the question of cleaning dirt on Shabbos and leather, that's a whole other discussion. Here, there's a question of muksa. So the tamidim started screaming, how could you do this? You don't know anything, this is muksa. So they explain there that since it's fit for covering up a mana, covering up a kli, and it was in the chatzer, it's permitted. It's not considered a muksa. So we see there clearly that Chachamim didn't know the answer. And Rava made it clear that they didn't know the answer. He was teaching them a din. So here as well, Rava wanted to teach him halacha. It was Shabbos. And Rav Avia walks in. Rav Avia has all these dirty feet. He says, why didn't you clean your feet? It was Shabbos. You're allowed to. You're allowed to clean. These things are not considered a muksa. And he was teaching him a lesson when it came to cleaning shoes on Shabbos. What's considered muksa? What's not considered muksa? That's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Back inside the Gemara, going back to what's the definition of muksa machmas gufa versus a kli. So the Gemara says it has to have a kli in the first place to even get the discussion off the ground. So now the Gemara says, in the last line, read this again. Amrlei ha ika toras kli ala, honey leka toras kli ala. If it has a kli and there's a use to it as well, so it's not muksa. But rocks tsros don't have a shame kli and therefore it's aser. So the Gemara says, midlo tanya, do we not have a brayse that teaches us going on to Amrbeis now? When it comes to different types of jewelry. It says that hashirayim vanizamim vatabalos, which are bracelets and nose rings and regular rings, harehein kecholak helim hanitalim v'chatzah. These are items that are not muksa that one is allowed to move on Shabbos because they're kelim. Vamar ula ula says hol v'ikataras kliyala. Since they have a amar ula matam, what's the reason you can move these? Hol v'ikataras kliyala. Since these are called kelim, they're called vessels, they're called utensils. Hachanami hol v'ikataras kliyala. So too, Rav Avi explains when it comes to the nair of nafta. It's not muksa because it has a toras kli ala. Look at the top Rashi here. Rashi says that harehen kikola kelim miyafa pisha asulates bem lushis rabim. Even though a woman can't wear these different jewelries, these pieces of jewelry in the rishis rabim, because they might take them off and show it to her friend. We'll learn about this in a couple of weeks from today. But me'isha yotze, what she's allowed to wear when she walks in rishis rabim, which types of clothing, which types of jewelry, gezera dilma shalfa omachvim, she might take it off and show her friend and carry rishis rabim. So even though in rishis rabim you can't wear them because of this gezera mi'utoris kli alem, they're still called kalim. You can move them without not derech malbush, not outside without an eruv. That's a problem. But in the house, they're called kalim. So in the house, I can move them around. They're called the kalim. They're not muksa. The gzeir was only outside wearing them, lest you take them off and show your friend, and that would be a violation of otsa. But the gabe muksa, these things are not considered muksa. So the Gemara then says four lines down from the top here. I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Baruch Rachmana Doksifei Rava Rav Avia. He says Baruch Hashem that Rava didn't embarrass Rav Avia. Rav Avia knew the answer here, and he didn't cause any embarrassment. Didn't cause any type of tsar. Okay, the Gemara now says further. Rami Le Abai Le Rava. Abai asks the question to Rava. Tanya, the Brisa teaches us that Moshe Hashem and Shabaner Shabakara Aser. We saw this already a couple days ago, that any leftover oil in the candle holder or in the bowl, it's Aser. But Rabbi Shimon Mati. Rabbi Shimon says it's allowed. Alma, we see from here, as we've been teaching, Rabbi Shimon less than Moksa. He doesn't hold a Moksa. Again, there are a few exceptions where he does agree Moksa. Grogos Vitzimukim, Bal Chaim Shemesim. But overall, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a Moksa, and therefore any of the oil that's there, you're allowed to use. So Gemara says, really? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. We're minhu. Rabbi Shimon omer kol she'ein mumon nikar me'av yomtev ein zemin amuchim. Any bachor, the din is by a bachor, that a bachor you have to bring, it's given to the kohen, and it's brought as a cargo. But let's say the bachor gets a mum, so then the kohen gets it, he's allowed to shecht it. He could shecht it outside the base of English. So if there's a mum, and the mum was there before yomtev, so then it was shown to a baki, a mumcha, and the mumcha said, this is a mum. The not anyone knew what a mum was. The Gemara says that, I always forget who it is, Rav or Rebbe, and someone always reminds me, but one of them, in the beginning of Masech HaSanhedrin, spent 18 months on a farm to learn what's a mum. 18 months, it's a year and a half on a farm, learning different mumim. It wasn't easy to get licensed to Matir Becharos. So the Kohen would have to show to a baki, to show to a mumcha, to see whether or not this was a mum. If it was a mum, he's able to shecht it. But let's say Erev Yom Tov, they didn't know it wasn't a mum yet. So now in Yom Tov, it developed a mum. So the Gemara says, Reminhu, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shein Mumo Nikam Erev Yom Tov, if the mum wasn't recognizable before Yom Tov, Ein Zemin Amuchan, that's not called Muchan, and even though you may have developed and found the mum on Yom Tov itself, that's called Muksa, and you can't shecht it. So we see that Rabbi Shimon does hold a Muksa. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi Ashta Hasam, let's understand. What's the whole idea? What's the principle of muksa? What's the driving force behind it? So the Gemara explains something very, very important. We've seen this before. Adam Hasam over there by the Nair, by the oil, Adam Yoshev Umitzapa Emasai Techaben Nero. A person could sit and wait and anticipate when the flame is going to go out, so then he could use the oil. So in that case, he's waiting. It's part of his das. Muksa means maksabidaito. It was removed from his das. He wasn't thinking about it. But when the flame is there, people know it's going to eventually go out. It wasn't maksabidaito. He was just being patient and waiting. He was Yoshev Umitzapa, and that's why the Moshe Shemin is mutter. But here, when it comes to Hacha by the Bechor, Adam Yoshev and Matapa Masa Yipo Bamum, the person sits and waits when the mum is going to be developed. He really thinks about that. And Meima Amar Mi Yemar Dinafa Be Mumma. Number one is, who says it's going to get a mum? You can't make a mum. This is their eyes to be Matil Mum. So you can't make one. So who says the Bechor is ever going to get a mum in the first place? And Imta Mitzlomar, if you're going to tell me Dinafa Be Mumma, if it, let's say it does get a mum. Miyemar denafa be mum kavua, the different types of mumim. There's one thing called a mum she'avar, which is a mum that comes and goes. It's not a permanent mum, and that doesn't allow you to shecht it. And there's a mum kavua, which is a permanent mum, which will allow you to shecht it outside the base of Mekdash. So even if it does develop a mum, who says it's the type of mum that will allow you to shecht it? Vim tim shalomar denafa be mum, and if you do find a mum kavua on it, miyemar de mistakik le chacham, who says you even find a chacham, a mumcha, to declare this to be a mum kavua, to let you shecht it? So there's so many different levels of doubt here. People are not yoshim and metzampe about the mum on a bechor. So therefore, yes, Rabbi Shimon does hold the muksa in general, but the application is so limited, it's all dependent on Adam Yoshev ume sape. So then the Gemara says, Meisa Rami Bar Chama Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos V'Nishalim Nedarim Shein L'Tzorech Shabbos. So what's the difference between Hafara and Sheila? So Rashi explains very simply, two narrow lines down, Mefirin Nedarim Bal Li'ishto. A husband can be made for the nedar for his wife. A husband to wife, that's called Hafara. Nishalim L'Nedarim L'Chacham L'Tirin. Sheila is when a Talmud Chacham undoes it. So the din is that when it comes to Hafara, you could do Nedarim. And when it comes to on Shabbos, you could do Hafara b'Shabbos. When it comes to Sheila v'Chacham, you could do it on Shabbos only if it's L'Tzorech Shabbos, only for the purpose of Shabbos. Rashi gives an example, Kagon Nadar Shlo Yochah Hayom. A person makes a nether, he's not going to eat today. So if he doesn't eat today, he's going to not enjoy Shabbos. He's not going to have only Shabbos. So since it's L'Tzorech Shabbos, you're allowed to do a Sheila L'Tzorech Shabbos. So Pashup Shad here, the difference between Hafara and Nidarim, and Sheila rather, Hafara, the Gemara says, Hafara can be done on Shabbos regardless of the purpose, even if the Hafara is on a nether, that's not Letzarech Shabbos. Why is that? Because Hafara has only a 24-hour window to mefer it. If 24 hours pass and the Baal is not mefer it, the nether stays until Chacham undoes it. So for Hafara purposes, the husband's allowed to be mefer on Shabbos because it's time pressing. When it comes to She'ela, if you don't do it today, you could do it tomorrow. There's no time frame on having a She'ela from a Chacham. And therefore, although a Hafara, any Hafara, can be done on Shabbos, She'ela can only be done if it's Letzarech Shabbos. But if it's not Letzarech Shabbos, we say wait for the She'ela for the next day. Either way, the Gemara says that this is the din. This is the din in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says now, Vamai, why is this allowed? Lema miyemar demizdatek le'bal, who says you'll find the husband? Who said you'll find the husband? And the Rashi explains here, Vamai Mutaris Lecha, why could he eat? Vafilu Shari Leibal, even if the husband does permit, the husband does do a hafara, litasele, the food should be also Mishum Muksa to Ascha Daita, because she's Mesiach Daita from it. It's Muksa from her mind. Vamra Miyema Dimizdakik Lebal. She's going to say, who says I'll even find my husband today? Maybe the husband's a traveling somewhere. Who knows where the husband might be? He's in the base Medrash, in the base Knesset all day long. Maybe she won't find him to tell him. So, shouldn't the food be muksatar? That's the shaila. So we see from here that this shaila of mi's dot cake should be applied to a two woman as well. So the Gemara says back inside, Vamai, lema mi yemar dimistak lebal. Just like we said, maybe the guy, the kohen, won't find the mumcha to be mate b'chor, so too maybe the wife won't find the husband to be made for the nether. And even if he does made for the nether, it should be muksa, because it was maksime daito, mesiach daito. So the Gemara answers, no, Hasam k'dira Pinchas mishmei d'rava, damra Pinchas mishmei d'rava, kola noderes, adas baile hinoderes. Any woman who makes a nether, it's always on the das of the husband, that the husband's going to agree to it, says Rashi, adas baile, amnas im yirtza baal, only on condition that my husband agrees to it. V'sam chaleh, she relies on him, dimizdakek la b'yom shema, that she's going to hear him, speak to him today, and he's going to hear of it today. Fine. Just look at Tosis for a second. Dima Maslo mi yemar demizdakeg lebal. So towards the bottom of the hat, the Y lined mi yemar demizdakeg lebal. The Afa gav de peris shenadr mehem einam muksim lina tiltel. He points out here that these fruit, although she may not be able to eat the fruit that's in the hamina, they're certainly not muksa to chazi lishar bnei adam. They're chazi for other people. We only say muks if it's something that's not chazi for anyone, but if it's chazi for someone else, if she made a nether, perhaps for her it's usher to eat it, but it's not muksa because it still has a purpose. She could still feed her husband and her children with it. That's just something interesting where you can have where what person's usher to use it personally, but still may not be muksa because others are able to benefit from it. So back inside the Gemara now, the Gemara says, Toshma, Nishalm l'nidarim shetzarech hashamis b'shabbos. A person could do a she'el, like we said above, you could have a she'el eschacham of a nether if this nether is going to benefit you on Shabbos. V'amai, why is that the case? Shouldn't we say it's muksa? Because the lema mi yemar the mizdakek lechacham. Who says you're going to find a chacham? So just like we said before, that the mum and the bechor, it shouldn't be mut and yanta because who says you'll find the chacham? Here's well. Who says you'll find the chacham that's able to be mati your nether? So Gemara says, no chasam, over there, by the case of the Nadarim, Shailas Nadarim, yes, it's certainly preferable that you have a mumcha to be mati your nether, to be Shaila your nether. But if you can't find the Tam Chacham, you could find Gimel Hadyotos, three regular people, like Katar Nadarim, and three people could do it. So you always find three people. So even though you can't find the big Tam Chacham, you can find three Jews. But here, by the case of the mum, miyemar the mizdakik lechacham, who says you'll be able to find a bechor, a mumcha rather, to be matir the bechor? And therefore, if you can't find the mumcha, you can't find three hadyotas. Only a mumcha works for a bechor. Three hadyotas don't work for a bechor. And therefore, there's only shaykh by shaylas nedarim where three hadyotas do work. So therefore, it is still in a person's das. It's not called muksa by the nether. It's only called muksa by the bechor. Take a look at Tosis on the bottom here. Hasam. So by a mumcha of a bechor, you are only a mumcha can be matir bechor, but not gimel hadyotas. So Tosa says, "V'afagav de perakama dechulun daf yudches." Amr Yehuda Marav Rabbi Yirmiyah Safek Mishrei Derav Safek Mishrei Deshmuel. Unclear whether he said his name of Rav or Shmuel. Either way, Shlomo Shlosha matir nes a bechor b'makum shein mumcha. What do you mean? We have a Mefurash Gemara that says, if you can't find a mumcha for Bechor, you can rely on Shlosh Hadyotos. You can rely on three regular people. This should be the same exact din then as Sheilas Nedar. The Tosis points out, Hainu Dafka b'mumim muvhakum. It's only true of a very clear mumim. Could go into Nisemes, Eino, if an animal's blind, Niktati Yado, Nishbar Raglo, if it's a broken leg or cut off the hand. Those are very pashup. Those type of very simple answers. You could have three Hadyotos even to Matir Bechor. But we're talking about where the mum is a little bit more sophisticated. There, only a mumcha is qualified to Matir Bechor. And the truth is, Rashi says the same thing. Hacha miyema, Rashi writes, Hadyotos lo matir lemishrei, Bechor el b'mum hayadu l'chol kagon b'chos ever. He says, the only times that a shlosh Hadyotos can be Matir Bechor is only when it's a well-known, a very, very well-known mum, such as missing a limb. Back inside the Gemara now, we're around the 7-8 lines up from the bottom. Rami la Abai the Rav Yosef. Abai asked the question to Rav Yosef as follows. Mi amar Rabbi Shimon kavsa mutar l'taltala? Does Rabbi Shimon really say that if the fire goes out, you can move it? Kavsa in only if it goes out, lo kavsa lo, but if it doesn't go out, you can't move it. Why does Rabbi Shimon allow you to carry a candle that's lit? Because the concern is it might go out. But still, my time, a dilma bahadi dinakil like kavsa. So even though you're going to carry the candle, the fire might go out. We have the Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, Davar Shemes Kavin Mutter. He holds, as we know, that it's Davar Shemes Kavin. When you're carrying a flame, you don't want it to go out, and it's Davar Shemes Kavin. And Davar Shemes Kavin is Mutter to Rabbi Shimon, as we have the Tani, the Brisa teaches us, that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorir Aldam Kise Meet the Vesafsel. A person could drag a chair or a bench or a bed on the dirt, as long as his intention is not to make a ditch, not to dig anything up. And even though he will be, it's still Davar Shemes Kavin. Davar Shemes Kavin is Mutter. Here's Will. When it comes to carrying the candle, the Davar Shemes Kavin, and Davar Shemes Kavin is Mutter. So why does he say you can't carry a candle that's even lit? So the Gemara says, no. Kol Heicha Tichim Mechavin Ika Isir Deraisa Kilo Mechavin Gazer Bishrim Midirbanam. When the act, if done, the Kavana would be an Isir Deraisa, so then he was Gozer Midirbanam, even Shloba Kavana. But Ki mechav kol hecha tichim mechavin ikay sura derabanan. Whenever the act is done with kavana was only in isim derabanan, then kilo mechavin when it was done without kavana, shari Rabbi Shimon lichachel he permitted you to do this. So what's the difference? The Gemara, look, Rashi explains isa deraisa kiboy amalachu. Extinguishing a flame is certainly an isa deraisa, and therefore when he said davar shalom is kavin, even Rabbi Shimon agreed it should be aser midrabanan because we're talking about an isa deraisa. But dragging a bench, says Rashi, charetz leka is a deraisa, that the dragging a bench is not an isa deraisa, because the chofer klachar yadu, that's a shinoi, that's a strange way of digging, that's a shinoi, and imlacha ayde shinoi is only an isa midirabanan, even when done by kavana. So therefore, klachar yadu, the chofer, the amr lakaman told the chorish, chofer digging is a told of chorish of plowing, v'chayeva, and you're chayev on this, but honey milei chofer kedark only when you're digging regularly b'marav v'kardum, like a shovel, a regular type of instrument you're using to dig, that's a deraisa. But when you're using the legs of a bench, that's a shina, that's only a derabanan. Since it's only a derabanan, when you stop a shina miskavin, in that case, that would be permitted. That's when Rabbi Shimon said it's permitted. So here, since in the case of carrying the candle, would be extinguishing the light, would be extinguishing the flame, would be deraisa, therefore Davar Shimon miskavin would be usher, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Look at the last Tosas on the page here. Tosas writes, the chol hecha de kemechavin ika isa deraisa vim tomar. The hacha bekiboy leka isa deraisa l'Rabbi Shimon. Even by the flame being extinguished, that's not an isa deraisa for Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds the melacha shenetuch l'gufa hu. And he holds melacha shenetuch l'gufa is not usher, it's potter. Why is the melacha shenetuch l'gufa? We had said that when a person extinguishes the flame, the only time it's legufo is if you need the wick, if you need you're making coals. But just to get rid of the flame alone, that's not melacha shetzich legufa, that's melacha shenetzich legufa. And for the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that's potter. So this is a derban in the first place. So even Rabbi Shimon should say, davar shemitzkaven should be mutter in the case of having the flame extinguished. And Tosfos answers, v'yesh lomar d'hachi kama, we're talking about here, the chimichavin ikas is a deraisa. When is the deraisa by extinguishing the flame? Kagom b'psila v'tzarach l'ha'hava. When you have a wick, we're talking about a case where there's a wick, and you want to put out the wick in order to make it easily lightable, flammable for afterwards. We had learned already before that fresh wick is not easily doesn't easily catch fire. But you light it once, and then you put it out, so when the next person lights it, it makes it easy to light, so that would be considered tzrich l'gufa. And Tosfos just finishes off saying, v'yafa pishezeh teretz dachoku, even this is very hard to say, we're kind of trying to squeeze this answer in here, v'laf hachi parach le'shapir harav, even though we're going to get rid of this answer anyways, from a different perspective, we're going to reject this in just a moment, but at least for now, this is where we stand. So the Gemara now says, last four lines on the Amud here, Mesiv Rava. Rava asks the question, Mochik sus, people who are selling different clothing, Mochin Kedarkan, they could sell it regularly. They could, they could wear, Rashi explains here, Mochin Kedarkan, Vafilusha Kalayim, Lovsha Laharosa Bashuk. They could wear, a shatnish suit. They could show it off, see how it looks. They're allowed to wear it regularly. Ubavash Lo Yiskabin, Rashi says, Lehanos Chimam, as long as they don't have Kavana to have the Chimam. The violation of Shatn is, also to wear. The definition of wearing is to bring a Chimam, to bring warmth to a person. So the din is that a person, a seller, could wear the merchandise and show it off as long as he has no kavan. And the Gemara says further now, b'chama b'nei achama, b'gshamim b'nei agshamim, he shouldn't wear it in the summer to protect him from the sun, and the rain to protect him from the cold. He shouldn't have any kavan, but he could still wear it. So davar shemiskaven is mutter. Rabbi Atznuim, those who are very, very particular and careful about halacha, mafshilim b'makil acharim, they wouldn't wear it, but they'd hold it on a stick behind themselves and show it off hanging on a stick on hangers, but they wouldn't actually model the clothing. V'ha'hacha d'chim echavin isa deraisa ika. But here in the situation, if they did have kavana, they would violate the isa deraisa wearing shatnez. But kilo mechavin shari Rabbi Shimon l'chachila. But when there is no kavana, he permits this l'chachila. So we see clearly that even though there's an isa deraisa, still Rabbi Shimon holds davar shem eskavin is mutter regardless of the level of the iser. Bein b'iser mederbanim, bein b'iser deraisa. Rabbi Shimon says davar shem eskavin is entirely mutter. So that doesn't work out. That doesn't explain why Rabbi Shimon says it's aser to carry a candle on Shabbos. You should be able to carry a candle on Shabbos even though the flame's there, because even if it goes out, davar shem eskavin is mutter for Rabbi Shimon. Before we get to the answer and stop, there's just an interesting, very important piece here. Tosas on Daf Chav Tesma Beis here in the Masechta says that even though davar shem eskavin is mutter, Rabbi Shimon says if it's psik reisha, so then there would be aser, even Rabbi Shimon agrees aser. that even though he has no kavana, but if the hana is going to come against his will, psigresh is going to come immediately, even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's aser. So therefore, if a person, let's say, is going to definitely get the chimum, the heat from the shatnez, he shouldn't wear it. This becomes very, very relevant if a person, let's say, is wearing trying on suits in stores. This is one of the places to look. Can you try on a suit if there's a chashash that might have shatnez? Or let's say you know for sure it has shatnez. It's like a boss suit where there's a very good chance there's a shatnez in it. Can you try it on in the suit store? So, I have no kavana to get a chimum, but let's say it's a little chilly there and you're definitely getting chimum from it. According to Tosos, this would be aser. But there's a ran in the Maseches Chulim, and the ran says that when it comes to hana, we don't apply psikresha to hana. Psikresha applies to when a malacha occurs. But let's say I'm wearing something, I don't want the hana, and the psikresha is going to give me hana anyways, it's going to give me chimim anyways, the ran says we can't force hana onto a person if he doesn't want it, and therefore if a person wears clothing, it says I have no kavana, I'm just trying it on to see if it fits me, if I want to buy this, how it looks good, but I've got no kavana on the chimim. Even though it's going to warm me up and I'm chilly, I've got no kavana. According to the ran, this would be entirely permitted. Either way, back inside the Gemara right now, we have this Yesod that Rabbi Shimon holds. Davar Shein Miskaven is entirely mutter, whether or not we're describing an Isser Midrabanan or even an Isser Midraisa. So again, back to square one. So how come then he does not allow you to move a candle that there's a flame? You don't want it to go out. And if it goes out, it's Davar Shein Miskaven. So you should be able to carry a candle with a flame. And so the Gemara answers, last three words in Mem Vav Mem Beis, El Amar Rava, going to the Mem Zai now, Hanach Lener Shemen, leave aside Ner Shemen Upsila. Why? That case is different. Because normally, Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter. But this case is different. Hold the Nasa Basis L'Davar Aser, since it was made as a Basis L'Davar Aser, even Rabbi Shimon said that a candle which holds the, when we say ner again, the ner means a candle holder, since the candle holder holds a candle in a flame, it becomes a Basis, and even Rabbi Shimon agrees. Also, just to look at Rashi clearly, Rashi says, L'Davar Aser, L'Shal Heves, it holds the flame, the Bechi Hai Muksa Modi Rabbi Shimon. In this case, this would be another area where Rabbi Shimon would agree it's Muksa, She'a Kli Tafel L'Shal Heves, the Kli, the ner that you're holding, is a secondary to the flame, Bode, but as long as the flame is there, V'la Mishim D'chayish L'Kvi, it's not a question of concern of it going out. L'Gabi, the keyboard, Rabbi Shimon does not bother by it. Davar Shein Miskaven. The question here is Muksa. Even though we say all over Shas, and we've been saying all so many times, Rabbi Shimon less than Muksa, we keep seeing the case where he agrees that there are exceptions. So just like Grogos and Simukim, he agrees there's a Muksa. And by Behema Shemes, he agrees there's Muksa. Another instance is when it's a Basis, he agrees also that's going to be Muksa. We'll stop here. And Mirza Hashem will continue tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.